I think as we go on in our culture and society as Christians in the world today, I think increasingly we are going to be called foolish people to believe what we believe. A while ago, I was talking to my eldest brother on the phone, and I thought there was something happening with him spiritually a few years ago, but obviously things have changed and I was wrong. These days, whenever he speaks to me, he always makes a joke about Christianity, about the Christian faith, and about the fact that, you know, we believe in God. And he said to me, he said, "How could someone as intelligent as you believe in there's a God?" He said, "It's religion that has caused so many wars and problems in the world." Now, it's interesting that he called me intelligent, because nobody calls me intelligent, especially my brother. He obviously doesn't know me. But at the same time as calling me intelligent, he, in a sense, he called me a fool to believe what I believed, to believe that there is a God. And I think this is the way the world thinks. They will look at us and they'll say to us, how can you believe in God? How can you believe that God created everything? And they will laugh and say, look, this is just foolish. They'll say, look, how can you, as a Christian, believe in the virgin birth? I mean, this is foolish. It's ridiculous that someone like Mary, who was a virgin, could give birth to a child. How can you believe that someone like Jesus died and rose again? These things are just impossible. And they'll say things like this. This is like, and I've heard people say that this is like believing Father Christmas. That on Christmas Eve, do you believe this? The Father Christmas goes around the whole world in one night, and he goes down every chimney of all the houses in the world, and he puts presents next to a Christmas tree. Well, actually, he only goes to rich homes, doesn't he? He doesn't go to, it's strange, he doesn't go to homes in Africa and in India and where people are poor. I mean, this is just, you and I know, this is just ridiculous. People will say something like this: do you believe that Jesus is coming again? Are you telling me that Jesus will come on the clouds one day and every eye will see him? That's just foolish. These are just ancient myths that are found in an ancient book written in ancient times, when people believed in superstitions and ridiculous things like fairies and all sorts of weird things. But now, of course, we're clever. We could explain it psychologically and scientifically. This was all part of people's imagination. Now we're more advanced. And to believe such things today is just sheer nonsense. What are you playing at? Wake up! We're living in the 21st century, not in the Middle Ages. This is the thinking of the world, isn't it? Paul said in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." And it's this message that people find foolish. And especially other religions as well. They may have their own religions, but they find the message of the gospel foolish. Because they'll say, how is it possible for another man to die for your sins? Every man has to pay the price for their own sins. And you telling me that somebody else died for your sin? This is utterly foolish to all religions. So don't be surprised if you are a Christian, if people around you think you are foolish. And indeed, even if other religions think that the message that you proclaim is foolish. But this is what I want to look at this evening, as we look at Proverbs here, and in particular chapter 26, verse 1 to 11, to see what is real foolishness and how to deal with it. The Proverbs are absolutely wonderful. We preached through the book of Proverbs many years ago, and they're wonderful because they give practical wisdom in a very down-to-earth manner. And so it's applicable to everyday living and life. Here in Proverbs chapter 26, it deals with three different types of people. And maybe I'm not sure, maybe we'll look at all three over a few weeks, I'm not sure. But we're dealing with one type of person. And that type of person is found in chapter 26, verse 1 to 11, as I said. And you'll see that this type of person, we know what the type of person is because there's one word that reoccurs in verses 1 to 12, in fact, nearly in every verse except verse 2. Again and again, that word appears again and again and again and again. Now, can you see what that word is? It's quite clear, isn't it? The word is fool, isn't it? See there, a snow in summer, verse 1, and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for a donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Verse 4, do not answer a fool according to his folly. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And it goes on and on and on. The word fool occurs nearly in every verse except that one verse, verse 2. In Proverbs 26, verse 13 to 16, we have another type of person. And again, it's very simple to know the type of person this is, because there's a word that occurs in every single verse. And that word is quite obvious, isn't it? Can you see what it is? The word is lazy. So verse 13 to 16 is talking about the lazy person. You've got the foolish person, you've got the lazy person, and then from verse 17 onwards to the end of the book, it's talking about the troublesome person, the contentious person. So verse 21 uses that word contentious. So there are three different types of people described here in Proverbs chapter 26. And today we're just going to look at the foolish person. And we are warned not to become like this foolish person. Now, before we begin to look at this, I think it's important for us to understand what the word foolish is, or what a fool is. If you look up the word fool in the dictionary, it will say something like this. A fool is someone who is silly or stupid or lacks judgment and a sense, lacks judgment, or someone who is a professional jester or joker, a person who can be easily tricked. So this is the definition of foolish, or it goes on to say, someone who can easily deceived into looking foolish, or someone who's idiotic or weak-minded. This is what the world thinks of Christians in a general sense. They think we are stupid to believe what we believe. They think we lack judgment. They think we are easily deceived, we're weak-minded, we're idiotic. That's the world's concept of who we are. However, when we look at the Bible, the word fool is used in various ways in the Bible, in a number of ways. And to understand what word is being used, it's important to understand the context. But generally speaking, the word fool doesn't talk about someone who is not intelligent mentally or silly. In the Bible, it talks about someone not who lacks intelligence, but someone who lacks morality. And someone who lives his life without any reference to God. That, in the Bible, is a fool. That is why you have statements like Psalm 14 and verse 1, where it says, the fool, what has the fool said? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So if someone says to you, is there no God? Say yes. And they say, okay, that's great. And say, look, yeah, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. That's what a fool is. A fool is someone who conducts his life in such a way that he doesn't fear God. And as a result of that, he'll end up making a lot of bad choices in his life. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, if you go back to the beginning and the introduction of the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So therefore, this is saying wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And if you don't have a fear of the Lord, what are you? You're foolish. That's what you are. That is the definition in the Bible. Now, can you see? This is exactly the opposite of the way the world thinks. The world says, you're foolish if you believe God. The Bible says, you are foolish if you don't believe God and act in a way that God does not exist. So we're just poles apart, diametrically opposed to each other. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 26 and look at the conduct of a fool who lives his life without reference to God. Now, there are six things here, and I want to just touch on them, go through them briefly. This is very down-to-earth, practical wisdom for everyday living. That is why Proverbs is a great book, and I love Proverbs. Just very practical. So, firstly, do not honor a fool. Do not honor a fool. That's verse 1 and 2. Now, remember, this is poetry, and therefore the way we interpret it is not literal. We have to bear that in mind. So it says here, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Now, what is this saying? If snow falls in the summer, or there is excessive rain when people are harvesting their crops, these things are not natural, are they? They're not seasonal. You don't get snow, do you, in August? Well, we're in England, aren't we? So you never know. But I can't remember snow in August. It's not natural. It doesn't happen. Rain is certainly a blessing. Without rain, crops cannot grow. and we would have famines, but it's not appreciated when the farmers are cutting their crops and when harvest takes place. So it says, likewise, honor is not fitting for a fool. Just as snow and rain do not fit in the wrong time and the wrong season, honor in a similar way is not fitting for a fool. So practically, what does this mean? If someone does something that is immoral or foolish, if someone commits a crime, if someone does something that goes against God in any way at all, then we as Christians are not to honor them. We are not to applaud them. If someone tells an immoral or a dirty joke, we should not praise them, should we? We should not honor them. We should not laugh at the joke. These are the words of a fool. And we don't want to approve of their foolish behavior without reference to God. And yet, the society that we live in today has become foolish, and this is exactly what they're doing, and they think they're wise. When God is blasphemed, people are praised. How many jokes are told without using God's name in vain? People are honored for jokes that degrade Christ. Immoral laws are passed and they're applauded and celebrated and viewed as being progressive. You know, we've come of age. Acceptance, tolerance. We've advanced. We're wise. That's the thinking of the world. But the Bible says this is foolish. So don't applaud it. Don't praise it. Don't honor it. Verse 2, it says this: like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. What is this saying here? This is saying that when people curse, they say things that do not honor God, when they attack you, when they may curse you, they cannot harm you. It's like a sparrow or a swallow that cannot land. Remember Balaam in the Old Testament in Numbers 23? He was told to curse Israel, remember? And he couldn't do it. And he ended up saying, how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? Paul says in Romans 8:33 that if we are in Christ, if God has chosen us, if now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, how can anyone bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. If God has not condemned you, no one can condemn you. So when people behave foolishly against God or even curse you, do not praise them. Do not honor them. Do not applaud them. They are foolish people. Secondly, A fool deserves punishment. Look at verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Now, a whip for a horse or a bridle for a donkey are things that are used to make the animal respond. So you use a whip and a bridle goes in the mouth. All of these things, they inflict a certain amount of pain on the animal. So it says, so it is with fools. The only way sometimes for fools to respond is by inflicting pain and a rod for the fool's back. Now, corporal punishment is banned in this country. When I was at school, we used to have the slipper and also the cane. Do you remember the three of the best? Okay, I never got it, so, and maybe some of you did, I don't know, maybe you were naughty at school. But that's corporal punishment. And sometimes what it's saying is that smacking may be necessary. Rather than trying to inflict pain through detention or community service. Now, of course, in the day and age we live in, this is very controversial because in the light of what social services say, that smacking, I don't think it's banned in this country. I think, is it banned in Scotland at the moment? Maybe in this country. But this is not saying that, look, we need to be brutal or that we deliberately take our anger out on children. That's totally, totally wrong. If ever we smack children, it must always be in a controlled manner. Never to leave a scar, never on the head, because you're destroying their brain cells. Maybe on the leg, on the back, or maybe on the hand. But it's done out of love. To correct. And this is what God does, even with his children, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And, you know, maybe a policy is, you know, even with smacking, it's not the first thing you do when you want to correct someone. You tell them once verbally, then you tell them twice. Then you are assertive and tell them three times. And if they don't listen, maybe a gentle smack is required. And what this is saying is that for some people, the only way to correct them is by inflicting pain. These are fools. Thirdly, respond appropriately to a fool. Verse 4 and 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Now, you think, that's a bit crazy. It's a complete contradiction. One verse is saying, do not answer a fool according to his folly, because you'll be like him. And then the next verse is saying, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So what is this talking about? Is there a contradiction here? What the writer is saying is that when we deal with foolish people, what we need to do is use the right methods at the right time to answer them. So at times it may be appropriate, verse 4, to answer, not to answer a fool according to his folly. And other times it might be right to answer them. So what he's saying is, think of the situation, and you need wisdom in these things. So let me give you an example. Imagine that you are maybe talking to someone, you're evangelizing, and you get into a debate. Maybe it's appropriate not to debate with them, because there are times when you might just say something, you may just plant a seed in their brain, and by doing that you're making them think, and you leave it with the Holy Spirit to convict them, and your silence makes them feel convicted. But there are other times that it may be appropriate to debate with them and to beat them at their own game. so that you can show them the folly and the foolishness of what they're saying, so that you can win them to the Lord. Sometimes a mixture of these two things is helpful. You may start off discussing, but then there comes a point where you think, leave it here. Because although I might win the argument, I'm going to lose the person. And again, we need wisdom in these things. So there's sometimes a point where you just leave it, say what you need to say, plant seeds, and leave the rest with the Lord. Certainly, if someone insults us, we are not to insult back. And in that case, we are to do nothing and leave the person to feel convicted. But what this is saying is verse 4 and 5 here, what they're saying is that sometimes there's a case for remaining silent with a fool. Other times it's appropriate so to be silent because you don't want to be like them. The other times it's wise to beat them at their own game and to debate and to discuss. And we just need wisdom in these things. Fourthly then, verse 6-8. Do not rely on the fool, he is useless. Verse 6, he who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence, like the legs of the lame that hang limp, is a proverb in the mouth of fools, like one who binds a stone in a sling, is he who gives honor to a fool. Now, what is it saying here? It's speaking of relying on a fool to deliver a message or a report. And it's saying here, do not ask a fool to do it. If you do, it's like cutting off your own feet or drinking violence. Now again, what is this a metaphor of? What is this a picture of? To cut off your own feet, it's madness. It's like mutilating or harming your own body. It's doing violence to ourselves. It's an expression that means that we are it's a message to say that we are to be wise in these things, and also that the message that we give to people, we mustn't use fools to do it. Because it'll bring trouble on ourselves. Because a fool is not reliable. A fool is not faithful. A fool, what they do with the message is they give a false report. They twist the message. Remember Moses and the 12 spies that went into Canaan? What happened? 10 came back. Did they give an accurate report? They said to Moses, look, if we go into the promised land, what will happen? We're going to be killed. We're going to be destroyed. Because there are giants in the land. Did they give an accurate report? No, they were fools. But there were two who were wise. Joshua and Caleb. And they said, look, let's trust the Lord. See, they weren't fools, they were trusting the Lord. So don't use a fool to give an accurate report. Let's think of this in terms of the New Testament. As Christians, we are called by God to be messengers of the good news of the gospel. Churches appoint church pastors. And when they appoint church pastors, they should appoint pastors who uphold God's word, the truth. Never be foolish. Never appoint a fool. Never appoint anyone who's not born again. Never appoint anyone who's a nominal Christian. Never appoint anyone who's a liberal Christian who do not believe the Bible. It will harm the gospel cause. They will water down the gospel. They'll talk about politics. They'll change the Bible. They won't give an accurate report. They'll use the world's thinking to change the message of the Bible according to what the world says, so that the world, they think it's more palatable to the world and they'll accept it. They'll twist the truth. Never appoint someone who lacks maturity. Qualifications are given in Titus and Timothy. If we do these things, we appoint the wrong people, we're being foolish. We're bringing trouble upon ourselves. We're damaging God's kingdom. We're mutilating the body, the church of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, like legs that are lame, they limp. This is what the church becomes. Because the person who's appointed does not know God. And even if they understand the Bible, you know, if they're not saved, sometimes you can even see the truth, but you can't accept it. Because your heart has not changed. And you'll distort the truth. And our inclination is towards sin. And because it's towards sin, we don't like the truth. People never preach about hell. I'm not saying we should every week, or punishment, or the resurrection and things like that. Verse 8 says, like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Remember David took a sling, put a stone in it, and he threw it at Goliath? That was powerful, wasn't it? It killed him. But if you give a fool the truth and the message, it's like it says here, the stone is stuck to the sling. It's ineffective. So is a fool. If you trust a fool to deliver the message of the gospel, you are mutilating yourself. You are harming yourself. Fifthly, do not depend on a fool as he is dangerous. Verse 9 and 10. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. Now what is this saying here in verse 9 and 10? It's saying here, take a drunk person, and he has thorns in his hands. What happens? He ends up cutting himself. He's a danger to himself, but also he's a danger to others as well. He's drunk. He doesn't feel the pain. He's dangerous. So a wise saying of proverb in the mouth of a fool can be dangerous. In other words, fools can use the Bible. They may know the Bible. In fact, in verse 10, I think there's other translations that put it like this. I think the translation here is may not be accurate. It says, like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby. It says he's an archer who takes arrows and shoots randomly at everyone. So the imagery here is, if we look at it in the New Testament terms, a fool can take God's word and use God's word to hurt others and themselves. That's why in the church, and in this church especially, we insist that nobody serve the Lord in spiritual things unless they first know the Lord. They're born again. We don't have anyone in this church doing anything spiritual unless they actually know the Lord. They're born again, they're saved, and usually we say they're baptized. Because if you put spiritual things in the hands of fools, it can be dangerous. It doesn't matter how long a person has been coming to church. It doesn't matter how well they know the Bible. If they don't know the Lord, they are fools. Finally, verse 11. A fool is beyond reform or change. Verse 11. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool returns to his own folly. Now, the picture here is not very pleasant. Here's a dog. The dog is sick. And, you know, when we are sick, what are we told? We're told that if you're sick, then it means that your body is rejecting the food. There's something wrong. And usually they will say, if you're sick, don't eat for 5 hours. Is it something like that? I don't know. But here's a dog. It's sick. It doesn't have the logic to think that I shouldn't eat. And what does it do? It goes back to the vomit and it begins to eat the vomit. That's foolish, isn't it? So what it's saying here is this: a foolish person is someone who turns away from sin, but they keep going back to it again and again. We've turned away from our vomit, but we keep going back to it. It shows that they have not really changed. Their hearts are not changed. They're not really saved. Now, this is not saying that as Christians we won't have a struggle with sin. All of us have besetting sins. There are things that we struggle with. We have weaknesses. But there's a lot of difference between someone who's struggling with sin and wants to give it up and someone who just goes back to it because they love it. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 22 quotes this particular proverb. It's speaking about false prophets. And Peter said they're like dogs who return to the vomit. He's speaking about apostates, those who never really knew the Lord. He said they go back to their sins because they are foolish. And they are beyond change or reform. Unless, of course, the Lord genuinely works in their hearts. There's a lot here, I know. But brother, sister, look. We are called not to be fools. We are called to be wise. We are called to know God. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. The world thinks that we are foolish. But Paul says God has chosen what the foolish things of the world to put to shame. The wise and the mighty. Foolishness is not a lack of intelligence. It's not being weak-minded. A fool, as we've seen here clearly, is someone who does not know the Lord. And a wise person is someone who knows the Lord and obeys his commands.